No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Good morning. What amazing reference, though, right? Tell me, you often find the priority in life isn't objective to what Christ or God wants within our life. I placed myself in the secondary sense of reasoning this morning. I was driving back and I said, you're never a byproduct of your environment. Regardless of what location, at what demographic, at what season, at what hour you're embracing and what you're enduring, Christ and God will always lie within you. You possess them. They're a being one within you, and you're never alone. You don't have to worry about not having them or not dealing with them. And the question arises, well, what if you're being surrounded by sin, wickedness, and death? And what about Christ, though, right? Yes, of course, you are forgiven, you're redeemed. But what if you're being surrounded with it? What, every direction I turn, everywhere I look, all there is there's inequity. There's sorrow. There's failure. God's creatures are suffering, my fellow brothers and sisters. Yes, of course I have love for them, but I don't want to suffer the rest of my life, and I don't want to be subject to ridicule or being judged or condemned. So it goes beyond the theory and reason and the testament of belief. Our faith and hope, if you would, might not be the solid foundation of Christ, but yet it is the manifesting of it, bringing it on in. When you get surrounded by inequity and it defines you, and you're left stranded out on the plank like you're standing on the boat, and as a walk the plank, they have a sword pointed at your back, they're jabbing at you, out you go, right? Think about what I'm saying. You still shall have God in Christ. And I think that's where a lot of us, we fail within our own vocations of our own ministries. And that's probably belief, not so much ministries, but we fail within our own devotions of belief, of being steadfast and being devoted to Him. We want to have that type of passion. We want to have it to be a priority, but we find ourselves desperately stranded and we have nowhere to go. I don't think that it's relevant, but we make it relevant. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What an amazing reference. And we shall have an abundance of everything, right? So I once sought clothing and he provided it for me. I was hungry and he fed me. So yes, of course, the food, the clothing, the maternal purpose of this world that we live in, but yet is the world made up of more? You don't exist in the world exists in you. Because of God and Christ, you've been given the opportunity to open the door to a world that's completely yours. That objective or that mindset is that you exist in a world that is not yours, that is not of Christ, and everywhere you turn and every decision you make is no more than a byproduct of what they found to be adequate or found to be right. Well, if they've failed for centuries upon centuries, and it sounds very different, but if they failed upon centuries, they failed because of the inequity. How could you believe in something that doesn't work wholeheartedly? It doesn't provide sustainment. There is no eternity. Forgiveness, the chain, sin, wickedness, and death, God, Christ, the substance, the Holy Spirit, the enactment, it lives within me. I seek the good counsel. Yes, of course, the advocate. Who else? Christ himself. Have you heard of him? And if it doesn't work and they don't have it, is it your problem? You shall turn away. You shall repent, turn the other cheek, and walk away abrasively. Are they allowed to take their resentment, right? And they are truly suffering. They're living without God. Think about it, right? So it's their problem. Are they allowed? And allowed is a terrible word choice, right? You think along the lines of action or making something happen or not making it happen. Can they make those types of decisions? Are they allowed to make those type of decisions? We're suffering without. We're going to push our agenda on you regardless of the term or the cost or the expense. Eternity and forgiveness doesn't come into play. We're just going to start being like animals in this world, outright demons, right? And we're just going to outright do whatever we can, and we're just going to push our agenda on you. I don't think so. But yet you'll reference, and not that we're to point the finger or to judge, but you'll reference so very quickly that that is the God that they believe in. The hate, the sin, the wickedness has become so bad and so apparent that it's all they have to talk about. It's very, very destructive. And it gets to a point to where now there is no defeating it, overcoming it. The whole purpose of God, incarnation, salvation, remission of our sins, Christ himself, he gave his only son, is not relevant. So now I'm going to make it worse on you because misery enjoys company and I want you to be on the same playing field. And you'll hear individuals talk like that. We'll level the playing field. I'm trying to get up to God here. What's wrong with you? I don't want to go down in life, put in neutral, put it in reverse. I'm trying to advance. So that's a tough one. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Ooh wee. One second now. Are we referencing the birds? The birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Okay, so they're not doing for others, they're not giving for others, and they're not receiving, and they don't gather and proclaim possibly church gospel, right? But yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So regardless of the desperation, the existence, where are you going, at what extent, what season, what hour, right? What hour that you're facing and enduring, he's still going to be for there. He's still going to be nurturing for you, and he's still there for you. At what point is he not there for you? When you deny his presence, when you no longer have him being the leading force, the guiding light within your life, he's carrying you through the sand. You turn around, you look behind, I seen footprints. Yes, of course, very good. Every notion in this world goes directly back to him. It better be about God. Literally. I'm working on it right now. It's extreme. Forgive me. But it's one of the lessons that I have for myself. I'm working on it right as we speak. Not in a sense of being sovereignly submissiveness and being a slave to scripture, but it's an aspect that I want to improve to be more Christ-like in thought, word, image, and deed. So I myself, it better be about God. I hear all kinds of talk each and every day. There's all types of chatter and there's things going on and I'm listening. I'm receptive to the words that's going on. And a lot of times I care. I want to know who you are. I've got love for you. I try to have love for everybody. So I want to be receptive. I want to be capable of understanding and comprehending, right? But one of the biggest and hardest things that I've got going on is sometimes my emotions, which is the want of me, even if I'm right or wrong in my own mind or in God's eyes, he shall be the only one that'll accept or deny me. My want becomes more apparent than being capable of being receptive. Somebody says something that completely upsets me, and I'm listening to them. I'm like, you should let me love you. Stop, please. And it gets taken out of context. And before you know it, who's the one that needs to be reminded? It better be about God. Well, no more than me. How come? Because I've taken it to a spot to where I can't find God. So that's a tough one. It's tough for us. But you'll notice, regardless of any enactment, any decisions that you're making, he's still there for you. And I think that's relevant. Are you not of more value than they? Well, yes, of course, but the comparison notion can't be the score or measure other than the sense of eternity advancing within that ladder and not being spoiled in a sense of wickedness to where I'm being defined by my own wants and needs. Is there a submissiveness form to being holy? And if so, does it define you? Does it put you in shackles and chains? And does it become God? Because if it does, we've completely failed in every aspect. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Life for life, breath for breath, eye for eye. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? So being anxious about it, worrying about it, they say worrying is the devil, fear is the liar. If I'm completely upheaved about it, I just can't get over it. I need something. I'm stressed out completely. God help me, right? I know. God help me. Think about what I'm saying. That hour that you're taking away from him, you can't replace. And isn't that relevant though? You always hear me reference that breath that I've lost because you made those decisions. I'll never be capable of getting that breath back. Now, where is God within that scenario? That breath that you've taken from him. What? For real, the body, the temple, the synagogue, thought, word, and deed, that breath that you've taken from God, you're not capable of replacing it. Think about what I'm saying. We don't have that mindset, that capability, that level of competence within degree and discipline. I was like, oh my Lord, you mean to me, I should be honoring thy God, my God, right? The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the substance, the Holy Trinity, but yet he's losing a breath because of the decisions I'm making. And I'll never be capable of giving him that breath back. So to take it to the point to where it better be about God, whew, Lord, forgive me. It's beyond theory and reason. You have to enact that way. And who is it hard on? It's hard on you. But in a good way, yes, of course. It doesn't turn you into a slave. It only makes it apparent on what your priorities are and where he actually exists within your life. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, And that's the notion. Do you have anything to worry about? I don't think you have anything to worry about. Stripped of our inequities is no more than the confession to him, not to somebody else. I don't need to stumble and I don't need to fall. But the stumbling falling has become a rhetorical mindset of the possessiveness of their personal agenda. Well, this is what's apparent at this day and age, and we're going to deprive you of heaven and eternity. Not only are you depriving me of that breath, excuse me, but my creator and my savior, they're losing breaths because of decisions that you are making. And think about it. That's not something that should be happening. It's very, very sad. And in most cases, it doesn't happen. You wonder why. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. I met this individual, and immediately it was a God blessing my life, and I like commitment. I think different. And I told her, I said, my goodness, I said, I can't believe it. I'm like, excuse me. I just couldn't believe it. I said, do you think that we could just like take off? We should get in a car together and we should like start this ministry. We should start traveling and actively seeking those that are seeking and try to heal their hearts, souls, and minds. Let the truth set them free. Like we've been given this opportunity to be the deliverance of them. And here came this fear and doubt and all these other stories that we don't have nothing to worry about. What about God, right? So you trust in him and someone say, well, you can't take it to that level. You'll end up completely stranded. But you shall and you should take it to that level. That's the world that creature created, though. You doubt God. You start doubting Christ. You know, I mean, I don't reckon it's going to work. I don't think I can take it to that venue. I don't think that I can go out there. I might run out of gas. I might run out of money. I might be hungry. I might be seeking shelter. But if you truly trust in him, then you know it's going to happen. And some of us, well, at what time? Can you send me a message? Can I set an alarm? Would you let me know at what time it's going to happen? It's always within his time that he comes to us, that he delivers us, that he works the miracles through us. But we have to trust in him. We have to confide in him and put it back within his hands. And the moment that we deny his presence in our thoughts and our wants and our needs, go back to creature, then we've lost miserably. And by the way, he knows, very, very good, he knows, so the Father knows that you need them all. He knows what you seek, what you acquire, what you want, and what you need. My dearest wants and needs, what I hold near and dear to my heart, are true to him, his personal testament, and my testament of devotion to him. And that's the mindset, that's the mentality. That is where we possess it and where we walk within it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:24-33. So much relevance in the way that we stumble, in the way that we fall. Yet the whole scripture that we referenced this morning, and we say anxious, but it's no more about doubt, right? It's no more about doubting his power, his capability, what he's capable of. It's a confession that we are expected to fall. We are expected to stumble. We are expected to be crawling, being slaves of scripture. And at these dark moments, if you would, at any given hour, how do we get ourselves back to him? How do we progress within that mindset, that milestone of, I know who you are. I've seen you on my darkest of days. And how quickly are we to forget about them? I remember when he came through for me at this moment. I remember when I was blessed. I remember when I was redeemed. We're so quick to forget about the blessings that we've received, on how he's worked within our lives, on how he is continuously, consecutively, daily moving within us, that now we've forgotten about everything. It's not a priority about God. Let me free up some time and then I'll make him a priority. Now, it better be about God. If you don't believe me, try it. And it doesn't mean you have to tell anybody no. It doesn't mean you have to be rude or be objective to something else that works or doesn't work for you. Acceptance or denial. Avoid the variances, right? Just to completely eliminate them. It better be about God. Possess your day with a sense of ownership. Starting today, if you would. Almost like being saved and redeemed, down on your knees, praying for thankful forgiveness. Come up here, be born again, turn over a new leaf, a new page. Excellent, right? You know, I don't think that you can quite take it a whole lot further. But today, and not challenge yourself, but have him be the leading and guiding light within your life. It better be about God. When you hear somebody say something, it better be about God, it better be about Christ. Reference God and Christ. And if you reference them and think of yourself as a humble servant, God help me, Think of yourself as a humble servant. So I'm referencing God and Christ, and I am that humble servant. Regardless of what happens, I'm going back to God. I'm going back to Christ. You'll never be upset. You'll never be disappointed. And you'll always be capable of walking away, of repenting, of forgiveness, right? Of confession. You'll also be capable of proclaiming, rejoicing, joy and happiness. It is the most amazing gift that we've been given. And that gift lies within. It is something that He has given us. Let me finish this out, this segmentation. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. A sense of sustainment. Why worry about things you can't change? And if you're worried about things that you can't change, if I seek God in life, then I shall seek God in death. Because I shall seek Him 24/7. There is not another God. So don't worry about it. And by the way, what's the flip side of the coin? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. When He presents that blessing in your life, make sure that you're capable of being receptive to it. If she walks up into your life and you see her and it's the right opportunity, good example, that's one of the ways that we can experience God in this world is relationships, commitment, pro-life. We advance, right? Make sure you're receptive to it. If you're walking and you see somebody in need and you know that you can make it, and I apologize, I think of things being pushed to the extreme. You know you can make it until you receive more and you be capable of helping them. Maybe you want to help them. Do you have to help other individuals that they want you to help? The answer would be no. The beauty and the gift of it, think about this. And I'm going to take it somewhere to where a lot of you might be frowning as you walk away. So stubbornly so. Remember the body and the blood. Forgive me. I think different. If others are making decisions for you, on you, and remember the mindset, the reference, right? It better be about God. It better be about Christ. At no point, shape, and form shall you start honoring that version of God. Now, my answer is no. Now, I'm not going to listen to you. I mean, if you need anything, don't be afraid to ask. I got you, right? Treat others the way that you want to be treated. But the moment that your heart, soul, and mind fall so helplessly so that other individuals are being the assertive to tell you how to live. I woke up this morning and they had all these individuals making decisions on me. We're putting these individuals on you. This is the mindset. This is what's going on. And these are the individuals that you have to deal with. You forgot. You forgot you shall only have one God. And the one that you've chosen to honor this morning, boy, it ain't working for me and it ain't working for you. But I shall say no. No, 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 no. What about God? What about Christ? It better be about Him. And it isn't. So my answer to you is no. And I pray so sovereignly so that you find what you need and what you're looking for. But yet, of course, it's not relevant. And I'm not really sure the stumbling and falling in this world sometimes might not be apparent enough. We might have to completely die, rest in peace. And to where we never get the point or we don't catch what we should be catching. Lord, forgive me. So I'm happy about the life that I'm achieving. Last night I was sitting down at the card table and I was playing some cards and here comes this person out of nowhere. And I'm trying to support my own family. Lord, forgive me. I feel like my God has blessed me with my own family, my own spouse's children, ministry, things like this. Everybody's entitled to their own. That's why God's given you life. You're not born into a life of slavery. You're definitely allowed to have your own. Here comes this person and they're referencing how everybody has to deal with everybody in some sort of a family. And I was like, I'm trying to like run for the woods real quick. I'm like, stop. I'm trying to get down on my knees. I'm expecting holy water, right? I need to be revived immediately. Somebody give me some oxygen air now, right? And this person's so possessive. It's like, oh, it's some family aspect. And I completely get stirred out of control and I throw the cards down and I just walk away. I'm just like, forget it. Comes this possessive form that you'll never get to have a life and you always have to deal with us and everything that you shall ever have or want, you have to share with us. And I thought to myself, how so sad. God. What about God? What about Christ? And I don't want to have to change anybody. So here's this perfect moment for me to be capable of inviting God and Christ within their life, praying that there's just that mustard seed, that grain of faith that'll completely turn their life around. And I don't have it to give. I just literally don't at that exact moment. And not only do I not have it to give, but the person that I'm tempting to is not receptive to it. And they want no more than to just lay completely down on the ground so that they can be happy about the decisions that they made because their inequity bears more than a sense of sustainment. But where is God within that entity? Notice how my reference was, it was an opportunity for me to give that breath of God to somebody else. I didn't have it. I couldn't do it. And then in the other stroke in hand, here came the sin wickedness. I was getting ready to be bit or bitten or bitter because they knew my answer was no, but here they came. And so all I could do was just walk away and lay down. Sometimes repentance, right, in a sense of turning the other cheek, walking away, saying no, is all you've got to offer. But if it's a sense of consensual love and you still have your heavenly Father, right, and your Creator and Savior within your heart, soul, and mind, and that's the possessiveness form of what you have, then you don't have anything to worry about. Being proud of what your accomplishment is there's nothing wrong with that as long as it goes back to Him. So for me and my family, my own personal family, Lord, forgive me, and I prefer privacy. My answer is no, I don't immediately. I don't even care who you are. No, I don't. I prefer privacy. The life that I have, God has given me. Not I live a God-given life, not creature taken. And I give often, like daily, Lord, forgive me. So everyone who is arrogant in a heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured He will not go unpunished. And it becomes very, very extreme. So this is back to the sowing and reaping, the kneading, if you would, down on your knees in the water, knowing that you don't have to be the advocate. You don't have to make those decisions. You don't even have to acknowledge it. Where is God within that scenario? I trust and confide in Him. I'm putting it within His hands. I'm going to walk away. How so very often we find ourselves spoiled in a sense of emotional upheaving. I'm distraught. I'm mad. I'm upset. And notice my reference. What a very, very good example. I had an opportunity to give the breath of God to somebody else and I just didn't have it. Now I'm upset. Put it back in His hands. Sometimes you got to get right back down to the ground. Sometimes you got to start outright crawling with it. You got to get right back down and you got to start crawling. God help me, save me, deliver me. And you got to take it back to Him. You ain't got to worry about what somebody else has got going on. It becomes so derogative with an emotional attachment that before you know it, you don't even know why you're alive. So everyone who is arrogant, Proverbs 16:5, in a heart is an abomination to the Lord. What about Christ? You don't even have to worry about it. Sounds like your problem. Excellent. Be assured. You don't have anything to worry about, to be anxious about. Tomorrow is going to come regardless if you want it to or you don't want it to. It will be here. He will not go unpunished. The reference, the capability, the maturity. No, I've seen the decisions that they've made. I've seen that they're living life without. I've seen that they're not capable, that they're not competent. I can see where they went wrong, who their God is, and now I know why they are suffering. Acknowledgement, observation, learning methods. Yes, of course, that's how we learn. But don't judge, don't condemn. If anything, try to proclaim, try to rejoice, share. Share in a mindset of what? And that's that family aspect. Not like that. Share the joy and the blessings that you have. But if they're not receptive to them, walk away. Somebody walks up to your door and they're trying to sell you something or trying to pitch a family aspect to you and you're like, no. I'm entitled to my own life. God gave me my own life. Where is God within that scenario? Where is Christ? Be sure that you repent. And if you choose not to, that's on them. You have all the greatest individuals in the world, all the money, all the income, and all the power. And now we all have to deal with one another. And yeah, we're family. We get to rub elbows together, shake hands and nod heads, and everybody gets to be happy. Who are you sleeping with tonight? You did what? Where is God in Christ within that scenario? Worrying about things that you can't change ain't going to get you anywhere. And I promise you, you don't have anything to worry about. He will not go unpunished. 2 Timothy 3:1. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. What hour did I mention? Anybody? At any given hour, regardless of the location, the destitution, the elevation, whether you're going up or whether you're going down, at any given hour, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Think about it. Think about it. Going for the dagger in the heart here. Bear with me. Hold on a second. And I'm gonna extend this out just a little bit, but bear with me. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Oh my goodness, 2 Timothy 3:5 is where we ended up with. Think about what they're referencing. But every one of those entities, including the love, the pleasure, every one of those, if it's about God, you can experience every one of those with fulfillment. But that's just a a tease, if you would, to some of the iniquity that they're going to be experiencing if they shall choose to worry about creature and worry about self. So the topic, where is God, or it better be about Christ, is so very, very relevant. I'm going to wrap this up with prayer. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to comment. Don't ask any questions. If you want to further elaborate, we can host a webinar and we can talk about it online. We could do a study. We could dig into some of the scripture a little bit further. If any of you have any questions, you want to know how it's relevant, how it isn't relevant, I can make myself available to you. I've got certain sets of hours. Don't be afraid to reach out to me. Be sure to follow Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Life or Death Ministries. Let us close in prayer. Our graciously Heavenly Father and Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, how so often we find ourselves stumbling and falling. And most of our cases, we only go back to the ground when we have taken it too far. Let us have enough knowledge and wisdom to know that when our inequity has getting the best of us and we've fallen victim of the flesh, that we're capable of putting ourselves down on the ground. We're capable of repenting. We're capable of confession. And we're capable of forgiveness. Don't let us continue to lead this world blind, naked, closed, starving, hungry, seeking shelter, because we don't have the capability of accepting what your blessing and what your forgiveness is for us, because the joy and happiness of what you've given us shall define any inequity that we shall possess. Remind us to turn the cheek, to look the other way, and to truly not be defined by the world that we live in, but truly bring it back and put it within His hands, and let His definement, in the sense of point, rhyme, purpose, discipline, and degree, be the enactment of why we live, with grace, with knowledge, with love, with compassion. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, Life or Death Ministries. Be sure to follow. Thank you for the donations. Thank you for the gifts. Have a very, very blessed day. God bless you.